and welcome to Dungeons, and don't worry about it, Season 1 Skywaves, a D&D podcast currently set in a mechanic shop on a crime planet called Factory 9. My name is Zane Accord, I am your not-so-humble Dungeon Master, and joining me around the table, as typically always join me, is...
Hey guys, I'm Arcane Jamie, the professional Minecraft YouTuber. I also do this silly little podcast, and I play the character Doc.
I'm Arthur. I play Mark. I'm not dead.
Thankfully. Hey, I'm Mason. People call me Mace. I play X, and I have a nifty little TikTok where I post funny TikToks every now and then.
Fantastic. When last we left off, you brought the unconscious body of Jesper Cartesian to the World's End Bar. Jesper Cartesian was a man that you sought out after hearing that Gertie Bilge, your mechanic, was suspected of killing him. You awakened him in the middle of the bar, and after some heated words between Jesper and X, X promptly beat the shit out of him, and you left him unconscious in the bar. You've now come to the Rambler's Run, which is, of course, Gertie Bilge's mechanic shop. He has given you a menu of various upgrades and improvements that you can put on your ship, which I would like to hear once we are done with leveling up. And of course, you guys level up to level 5. So let's start the leveling up process where the audience can hear, so they hear the insane ways I do things.
So, let's
start with rolling for health. Now, remember, when you roll health, no matter what you roll, you add it and your constitution modifier to your total health. Remember that you have a second chance if you don't like your roll for the way I do things. So if you don't like your first roll, this is for the audience, if you don't like your first roll, I either say you can take the average, which is typically 1 plus the half of whatever the dice's total number is, or you can roll again. But if you roll again, you have to take that second roll, even if it's lower than your first. So let's go down the line. Everybody, roll your hit dice to add to your health. Doc, roll your hit dice.
Oh, D10, right. Yes. I was like, wait, what dice?
Yes. So Doc, tell me what you roll.
I rolled an 11 plus my constitution modifier, which is 3.
Fantastic. Mark, what'd you roll?
I rolled a 4. I think I'm going to take that re-roll.
Okay.
That's a 1.
Ooh.
I gain 4 health. I am at 39. Do I heal up or am I still at like...
We're going to go ahead and say that you guys get some hot soup in Gertie's bar because he has like 60 thermoses in a cabinet.
That's fair.
Yeah. He doesn't like leaving his shop. He just has hot soup ready. So you'll go ahead and you'll be healed at the end of this. You'll be healed as if you took a long rest, even though for time-wise, it's kind of zipping around and we're not doing a long rest. We're going to pretend like you have.
Soup is just naturally restorative.
Yeah. All right. X, what did you roll?
Your boy rolled a 10.
Hell yeah.
And plus the constitution modifier that gives me a 12.
12 additional hit points. All right, so let's see if we can figure out what everybody needs to do for their level up. It's important to remember your proficiency bonus is now plus 3. So remember at the top of your skills and abilities, instead of being a plus 2, that little box that says proficiency is now a plus 3. So that means any skills you are proficient in, you now that modifier goes up by 1. Let's see. Let's go down the line again. Doc, as a barbarian, you get extra attack and fast movement.
Woo! Simple enough.
Yep. X, as a paladin, you or a gunner, as we call it on the podcast, you get extra attack, and then you get 2 more special ability slots at second level, and your number of first level special ability slots goes up to 4, and you get... Mm-hmm. An additional special ability. Again, these are spells. I'm just calling it something different because magic doesn't exist.
That's fair.
So we'll go through.
So when you say extra attack, what do you mean exactly?
Okay, very good. I was about to explain. Extra attack is an ability that certain classes get at 5th level. That means when you take the attack action, you take 2 attacks.
So basically, I can just double attack whenever.
Yeah, every turn you just attack twice instead of once.
Nice.
And then as a rogue, Mark, you now get uncanny dodge, and your sneak attack goes up to 3d6.
I really want to dip into my favorite part of this, which makes me so busted. But because I have expertise in computer science and Tinker's Tools, I now have a plus 10 to computer science checks.
My goodness.
I cannot wait for level 11, because at level 11, the minimum I can roll on a computer science check would be, I think, a 21 at that point.
God dang.
Wow.
So that's if I don't bump my intelligence a little bit.
For the audience perspective, uncanny dodge, the ability that Mark gets, when attacker hits him with an attack, he can use his reaction to half the damage. So unfortunately, it wouldn't have helped when you fell out the window, because that wasn't an attack.
I think the ground attacked me pretty severely there.
I think you attacked the ground and it backfired.
You mean it used like the parry ability that fighters have?
Yeah.
Then it was still an attack. Got him.
Anyways, X, what? So I think I sent you the list of special abilities. Do you know which one you think you're going to choose?
Find Steed.
All right. So as you guys are sitting there sipping some soup, drinking stuff, X, you get up and you go through a pile of junk that Gertie just has sitting there. And you see in that pile, there's like this little metal disc. And Gertie looks up and says, "Oh, that, I have no use for that. If you wish, you can take." And it's got a little button on it. So essentially what this is this disc is going to be your Find Steed spell. It will turn into a mechanical warhorse.
Nice.
All right, so I gave you that list of special thingies, the menu for the Rambler's Run. Do we know what we're going to want?
I think we mentioned it last time, but I think we're going to just go ahead and confirm our answer. This is our final answer. It's the minigun, active camouflage, and onboard thrusters, right?
Is everyone satisfied with that?
Yep.
Very cool. You mentioned that you wanted to have Gertie put that blur spell on it, or the little the phase shift that you got from Jesper's body on it.
Yes.
Okay. Let me see. This is not built for ship. It could be very difficult for me to get attached to the ship.
Do you want like a hand?
Well, I could do.
I have expertise in tinker tools and computers.
Well, you know, that is very helpful. I could use assistance, but I think to attach this, I will have to charge additional 15 credits.
Here you go. Take them. I give him the 15 credits.
So, and who is going to offer up the 50 credits that you currently owe him?
If y'all both
do you
want to
arm wrestle for it, X?
Sure, why not?
Okay, cool. Let's do contested strength checks. Whoever rolls higher wins.
Doc, do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
Go ahead.
17.
17!
You are kidding me.
You guys clear off a table and sit down. And it's an impressive display, because remember, Doc is 15 feet tall. I think X is like 6. So he is over twice your height, and you sit down and clasp each other's hands. X, your hand is dwarfed in X in Jesus Christ. Your hand is dwarfed in Doc's large mitt, and you reach out and you hold, and you guys are just stuck in the middle for the longest
Golly,
time. So I'm gonna have you go ahead.
That's awesome.
And have you roll one more strength check.
Well, they could also just split the payment, like they tied on their roll.
Oh, that's up to them. Okay, Doc, you wanna do that?
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, let's go ahead and split it.
Let's do it. So 25 each, right?
Yes, 25 each.
Cool. I gotta make some more money because I need my Gatling gun.
Gary goes, "Thank you for the funding. I will get started right away. Where is your sheep?"
Oh, let's go get that. Bring it on over.
Do we need to bring it over?
If you point it out, I can bring it in.
Yeah, okay, it's over there.
Yeah, it's right over there, yeah.
He drives out on an ordinary modern forklift, and you hear it beeping down the lane. Beep, you notice, beep, interesting thing, everyone that you have seen when stepping out into the smog puts on one of those glowing masks. Gertie does not. He can just breathe in this atmosphere.
Gertie's That's like, it's good. Okay. The lungs are artificial anyways.
He has gills on the side of his neck, remember? So, yeah, he's perfectly fine.
And smog, yeah, as we all know, is identical to water.
Well, it's special gills for
an
Atroxa.
It's a different alien gill.
Yeah, dude. In Atroxia, the atmosphere is not great.
Gill is, in fact, not... We're not talking about, like, the little flaps of skin. We're talking about just, like, this little dude who, like, filters the air for him.
Named Gill.
Hey, yeah, I'm
he gets
Gill.
Paid, like,
I just
20,
got a broom.
20 credits an hour.
Yeah. We have to stop animating random shit in this show.
Never. I will die first.
And he comes back with your ship, just balanced precariously on his forklift. He opens the door. And you hear a voice from inside going, "Hey, Meat Sacks, it's so fucking dark in here. You walked away. What the fuck's going on?
Is his battery not dead?
Dude, I got like a nuclear cycle battery, motherfucker. I can last for a while.
Our son is alive and okay. We are happy.
It's also only been like an hour, so come on.
Now, Gertie, don't forget like to really just take a stab. Just take a stab at his sort of personality. Like, that would be totally cool.
I told you when first we met, I am no roboticist. I can do nothing about personality.
If you could just, like, delete Reddit and download Twitter, I think we would get a lot more of engagement out of him.
Do your best. Just do your best. I don't care if you hurt him a little bit.
Well, we will see what I do if I have extra time.
Okay.
What if we give 8-4 the teleport?
It is at this moment that you guys see a sleek black car pull up. And by car, I mean it looks like a car, but it doesn't have wheels. It's floating above the ground.
Hey.
The doors open up and two men in three-piece suits step out of the car. And they walk into the shop. One of them turns, the one in the front turns, and gives a little nod to Gertie, and Gertie says, "Are you here to kill me?" And the guy says, "No, we are not here to kill you. We apologize for the inconveniences that we have caused." And he turns to the three of you, and he says, "Hello. My name is not important, but I am..."
"My name is Inigo Montoya.
I am here
you
as a..."
"You killed my son Jesper. Prepare to die."
"Ay, Dios mio." He says, "I am here on behalf of the boss of the Cartesian family. He wishes to speak with you about the incident with the Jesper incident, shall we say. Please, allow me to escort you to the tower."
"Yeah, right,
will
yeah.
there be mimosas?"
"Ooh, yes."
He turns to the other guy, he says, "Perry, call ahead, get mimosas."
"Yes." "Ooh, this is a fancy ride. I call shotgun."
And can we get like a omelet?
You call shotgun, he looks up and then he goes, "I do not think that you will fit."
"Then what am I going to do? Fucking skateboard on top of this car? I want shotgun."
"Start sketching, man. Borrow one of Gertie's million skateboards."
He goes, "Hold on, I think I have something for you." And he opens up his trunk and he pulls out a wooden carved toy shotgun. He goes, "You can hold this and then surfboard on top. So you have shotgun, but also you do not break the car."
"Thank you very much, sir."
So you can go ahead and write on your character sheet, "Toy shotgun."
That's canonically what he meant by shotgun.
It shoots lasers, but they're just like laser pointer lasers. So just like...
It's great for cats.
Yeah, because it just scatters those lasers wherever too. So it's like, okay, where are those lasers going to go? Where are they going to go? Where are they going to go?
So,
I climb on top, I guess.
All right. They will take you and they begin to drive through the town. As you get closer to the sleek, clean tower, the car begins to raise. And Doc, I need you to make a dexterity check for me. Well, it depends. Are you standing like you're skateboarding, or are you just holding on?
I'm holding on.
Okay, then never mind. But instead of going towards someplace at the bottom, they begin to rise up. And as they get close to the top level, a helipad sort of
extends out from the side of the tower. They gently land the car, and the window opens up sideways, and fans begin, or something begins blowing out the smog in the general area. They step out of the car. Both men open the doors for you, X and Mark, and they say, follow us, please, into the Cartesian Tower. And they walk in. Hopefully you follow them.
Yeah, I'll follow.
Yes, we do.
It is a sleek, clean building. It is less office building, more
good
fancy hotel.
Thank God.
Like another office building.
Another sci-fi office building.
Marble floors of black and white coat the floor with patterns of diamonds and squares and other geometric shapes, making a cool, interesting look as you walk through.
Man, this floor looks cool and interesting.
Ahead of you...
X, have you been... Oh, sorry. Can we have a moment of dialogue?
Let me finish describing the hallway and then you can.
Fuck.
Far ahead of you is a single dark wooden double door. It is tall enough to at least fit your whole height in it, Doc, but probably someone much taller than you could fit as well.
Where did
X, have you been here before?
I'd say it looks familiar.
You have not been at this section of the tower.
I'd say it looks familiar.
Yeah.
My big question is, where do they get wood from? Because I thought like the last tree was like chopped down like 1,000 years ago.
We have our sources. It is actually from a planet outside of the conglomerate that still has trees.
Called Earth. No, at this point, Earth doesn't have trees, does it?
No.
Probably
that's sad
not.
To think about. My brain starts to hurt.
Roll a history check.
So Earth is real in this world, right?
Yeah.
That is a 17 history.
Factory 9 3. Was Earth.
Factory 9 was Earth?
What?
Yep.
Yo.
No. That's so sad. Anyways.
Hey, Earth still has ramen. We're doing pretty good.
They hold on to ramen. Oh, dude. Wait, is this where Reddit came from?
And that's
that explains
my
so
of
much
crime.
About Factory 9. Like all of the
everyone's
crime.
Memeing and shit. Like, instead of like cool ancient paintings in the hallways, they're literally like memes, like Grumpy Cat are like on the wall.
You see there's a besides the double door are two oil paintings of Doge.
The car
one of them says
not a
to
sleek
the moon.
Black limousine, but it looks like a Pop-Tart cat thing, and like it leaves a trail of rainbow behind it.
Anyways,
but nobody actually knows the meaning of these things. They just think they're really neat archaeological artifacts.
So you guys walk forward through this hallway, and Perry and the unnamed man open the doors to you, and you walk into a long, thin throne room. It is styled with still marble floors in the sort of... If a medieval throne room were designed by a modern house designer... with like sleek marble square pillars. Instead of having banners of various clans, there's paintings hanging in a similar place, but are like modern art that are abstract and semi-aesthetic. And instead of a throne, there is a tall-backed chair of some kind, looks very comfortable, with a desk in front of it. Sitting at the desk is a dwarven man. It is a wide chair that he's sitting in, and he is a wider dwarven man. He has a thick black goatee and a black pompadour, wearing a very fine black suit and a glowing purple tie. A thick cigar hangs out of this man's mouth.
Are you the bad guys?
That depends upon who you're asking.
You, I guess, are, what?
As far as I'm concerned, I'm one of the good guys.
Oh, he's a good guy. Nice.
I am the boss.
That's your name?
That is what you may call me.
Okay, the boss.
Okay, the boss. Ha, jinx, mod.
Nice.
So, I hear that you had an encounter with my boy Jesper.
Yeah, he jumped out a freaking window. That was crazy.
Yeah.
Yes.
I agree.
I hear from some of the associates at the World's End Bar that he had an altercation with one of the members of your group and caused some trouble for you.
I think we can all agree that Jesper threw the first punch.
Yes, that is what I heard as well. So, I would like to tell you to tell me what happened today with Jesper. What problems did you encounter, and what is up with this shit? Why are you fighting him in a bar, and why is he alive? As far as I was aware of, he had died.
He faked his death working with the conglomerate general. What was the conglomerate general's name again?
Is this to your party or to
this
the DM?
This is to you, the DM. I know it as Mark, but Arthur does not.
General Michael Darksky.
Yeah, he had a thing with General Michael Darksky, who really, he ran our training program after our boss died. Our sergeant died.
So you know
our
this,
Michael. Our sergeant was murdered.
Yes.
So you know this, Michael Darksky.
Yeah. I also met him, I think, at a couple of like little fancy get-together meets, but I was a kid then, so I don't remember really well. I was mostly focused on the finger sandwiches.
So you're telling me that my boy Jesper was working with a conglomerate general that you three lads are aware of?
Well, we did walk in on, like, the meeting.
Yes, but you just said that you knew him before this meeting.
Well, we are defectors. Can we say that here? Defectors?
You're defectors of the conglomerate? Any defector of the conglomerate is welcome in my house.
Oh, thank God.
For a second, I was worried I was about to go a completely different direction.
There is no love lost between us and the conglomerate.
Yeah,
they're murderers. They killed my favorite general, Ring 1010.
And my dad's on their hit list too, which is not.
You hear that familiar voice in your head.
His name is Ring 10 Clicks.
Ring 10 Clicks.
That was pretty close.
If you would excuse me for a second, lads, Perry will escort you out of this room. I must discuss with my assistant here.
Real quick, he was also saying there was something about, and it's been a couple of weeks since an hour ago, but it was something about a war between families and, like, shifting power dynamics and stuff.
He will put up a hand. Perry was beginning to escort you guys out, and he says, wait, what is this about the war?
His death, his fake death, was going to, like, y'all were going to attack. Like, they wanted to put the view on another family, but Jesper wanted it to be on Gertie because one of his racers outdid one of your racers. And... but Darksky was like, no, it's got to be on the family. And so,
wow, that was a good impression of someone I've never met.
So it was going to go on the family and start a conflict to change the power dynamic of Factory 9 so that Darksky was in control of it?
Yes, Michael Darksky wanted to... decrease the power of many notable families so that he could swoop in and take control of the planet.
Yes, I say that.
Well, that's not ideal.
I have a loud guy in my brain. Can you fix that? I'm sorry, what were we talking about?
He stares at you for a second. He says,
son, I can do nothing to help you with that issue. But if you wouldn't mind, Perry will escort you out for a moment.
To the mimosas.
Yes, we do have a bar outside the door that will have mimosas. I must discuss with my assistant here. And he gestures to the unnamed man. And
is there also a Crimden Cigars out there?
A Crimden Cigars are very expensive. But yes,
Hey, excuse me, the boss?
Yes?
Do you know my compatriot X, the X? Hey, X, take off your helmet.
He kind of
takes off helmet.
He pulls a cigar out of his mouth and stares for a second.
Jesper told me you died. Along with the others. He told
me Jesper was wrong.
He told me Leon killed you. And he killed Leon for it.
Seems as though Leon died for a false cause.
I lean over to X and I whisper, should I not be introducing you as X to every single person I meet on Factory 9?
Eh, don't worry about it.
We can call him Y while we're here.
It appears that Jesper's treachery goes deeper than I thought. Give me just
a
moment,
so
lads.
Y'all are the good guys?
As far as I'm concerned, we're the good guys. We support small businesses.
This is true. We
offer unemployment for those that are displaced by some of our expansion efforts.
I'm so glad we're having this conversation. Like, we literally, what was it, like yesterday, thought about like...
This morning.
Bombing you with... this morning we were like planning on like bombing you with all your cleaning robots or something. Like, we were going to walk in here and try to kill every single one. Man, that would have been so embarrassing.
Yeah, because y'all offer like unemployment. That's great.
We offer unemployment. We have health care for any of our employees. It's actually
Can you
very
take
good.
Over the tower like right over there? Because our buddy... Was Charles our buddy?
Charles was your buddy.
Our buddy Charles he's got the crap in the stick. If he moves, he dies.
We just left Charles. We forgot about that. Crap.
Well, yes, I can see what I can do. So who's this Charles lad you're speaking of?
He's a little ball with arms and legs.
He talks funny.
He's adorable.
I happen to have a degree in the secretarial arts.
he's behind us.
No, just that's his voice in your head.
And it comes over the intercoms because he has hacked the intercoms.
How many voices are in Doc's head?
that one's just a memory. All right, you lads have given me a lot to think about. If you wouldn't mind, I do must discuss, and Perry will escort you out. I'll summon you back in just a few minutes.
Okay.
And Perry,
when we go out.
Yep.
Sorry.
Perry opens the door and gestures you to follow him.
When we go out and we're like having drinks and stuff, I want like X, me and Mark, I'm imagining, are just standing there with mimosas and we're going, X, spill the beans. Who the fuck are you? Tell us your whole backstory
spill
now.
Spill the beans.
So Perry takes to you, he walks to the Doge painting and boops its nose. And to the side of the painting, the wall sort of... scoots back and then slides open sideways, and there is a full bar with mimosas already set out, and four cigars sit there with a nice flame-based lighter and a metal blade for cutting off the end of the cigar.
What do I do with this? Do I eat it?
No, that's an Akermden cigar.
What do I eat it?
No.
What do I do with it? No, you're not telling me what to do with it. You're just saying no.
Watch and learn.
Perry's already got his cigar lit up.
I take mine.
What the hell? What are y'all doing? That's crazy. You're like blowing smog out of a stick.
I will help Doc light his and like kind of coach him through breathing it just in the mouth, not into the lungs, just in the mouth.
Being an Akermden cigar, it does taste subtly of granite and limestone.
Oh, my planet was made out of limestone. That's not true. I don't know anything about my hometown, and I'm pretty sure the man inside my head wants out. I'm confused.
Does he want the cigar?
Oh man, it feels good to get that off my chest. Oh man.
That's the power of an Akermden cigar, man.
Honestly,
really
I'm good
up
here. It's far less stress than having to write research papers.
Stop it, brain. Speaking of getting off my chest, that sounded weird. X, spill the beans.
Spill the beans. Spill. Does Perry get in on this?
Perry does not say anything.
Well, Zane, should I?
Yes, go for it. Say anything that you feel comfortable saying. I will correct you if any facts differ from what I've already established, but go for it.
So are we going just straight from me growing up to now?
The beginning. We want the beginning. We want the juicy
Tell
shit.
Tell me what How time you dad? Came out of your mother and start there.
Jesus Christ.
Start with your wailing coming out of your mom.
Exactly. What tonality
so
was
maybe,
it?
So maybe start from
How
your
long
beginning
did you
on
breastfeed?
Factory night, X. Just start from you working with the Cartesians. I think would be the most appropriate just based on their questions.
So it depends. So obviously I know there's like a couple of side stories we've been exploring, but do you want me to like make the story or is there a story already established I should be talking about?
Well, I will say, you know that your last mission as a part of the Cartesian family, Jesper ran off in a way that got, what was it? I forgot the names. Give me just a second. I said them last episode.
Joe and Pesci.
That got Sparrow and Monty killed. And then you were trapped somehow, but got away. And then you, when you heard about it later on, Leon had been killed.
Okay, so do you just want me to just expand more on that mission and then that's it?
You can expand more on that mission. You can expand on why you were working with the Cartesians, how you got involved.
You can you tell us exactly what time
what
you came
goals
out of
your were,
mother.
Maybe illustrate some
How
other
long
stories.
How long you breastfed.
You know, that kind of thing.
Your blood type.
I mean, I can get creative. Why not?
Is your liver compatible with ours if we need a transplant?
My God. All right. Well, since you guys asked, I'll go ahead and tell you. I came to Factory 9 mainly because I wanted to get away from my home planet. I mean, I'm not sure if I told you guys, but my parents were both assassinated, and I grew up in an orphanage, and it was difficult, to say the very least. And Doc, I'm pretty sure you've had this conversation when I told you just how difficult that was.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to run away. So there was an opportunity to come onto a new planet and potentially learn more about joining a particular organization that could give me a certain amount of wealth. So I did. I didn't know what the organization was, and I damn sure had absolutely no idea what I was doing. All I knew was whatever opportunity I could have gotten to get away from there, I took it. So I came to this planet in Factory 9 with absolutely nothing but maybe an outfit or two. I mean, I didn't have anything else. I was in an orphanage. I was... What's the best way I can explain this? I ended up getting picked up by this group. And they kind of took me in as their... I guess you could say... They treated me like their son, in a manner of speaking. So, they trained me. Even more than I'd already trained myself. What did I do? I mean, it was missions such as trying to... Sorry, it's kind of hard to talk about. I was trained in how to take pain better. I was trained in how to take tear gas, if that ever happened. I was trained to how I would take torture if I was put in that situation. Practically anything you could think of training-wise, I went through and then some. So, after I was trained, which was about 2 or 3 years worth, they started taking me on missions. And that's exactly what I did. I slowly but surely started gaining up ranks, and people started recognizing me as not only a general, in a manner of speaking, but somebody who get shit done. It wasn't until one mission, I always like to call this Project Echo, which is something I'm pretty sure I never told you guys. And it's a mission that Jasper ended up bringing up. We were sent in to infiltrate this place, and it was pretty much a simple snag and grab. I mean, it wasn't really anything special.
It was grabbing some of the intel from a rival family.
Yeah, exactly. And so here we are thinking it's just going to be a simple snag, and it was just going to be it. If anything, we'd actually planned on celebrating afterwards. It wasn't anything new. Come to find out, it was a trap. They'd been expecting us the whole time. So before we knew it, not only were we just blindsided by hundreds upon hundreds of troops, but by the time I realized, I was separated. I was under the impression that my entire group was dead. Either that, or they were taken with me. To this day, I'm not entirely sure how I got out. Zane, is there a way how I got out, or can I just, bullshit that one?
I'll say that you ducked into a crate, and then something knocked you out, but that crate was treated as ordinary storage, so when you woke up, you were able to get out of the crate and slip away unnoticed, as it was just merely at some storage facility.
That's fair. Okay. So after I was able to escape, I wanted to get away from this planet. I mean, obviously I wasn't going to stay on a planet that had people that were either dead or were trying to find me. So I escaped.
Why'd you join the military?
Well, quite frankly, I joined the military for a couple of reasons. One, to be quite honest, I didn't have anywhere else to go. And second, and most importantly, I wanted to be better. I wanted to get stronger. I just wanted to belong somewhere. And so I ended up seeing this opportunity. Kind of like the Factory 9 planet, but I felt good about this one. And so before I knew it, I was already packing up and heading to join the military. Thankfully, I already had some training and I already gained a reputation pretty fairly quickly. But I didn't think I'd be back here, honestly. And all it does is bring back bad memories. And I mean, hell, you guys seen it. Hell, all I've been doing is getting into fights with people, if not either people recognizing me or thinking I'm dead or something like that. So
it is at this moment.
This planet's been nothing but a bad time.
It is at this moment that Perry takes off his sunglasses and dabs at his eyes with a handkerchief and says, "It's a good story. Yes, it is very sad."
"Oh, my buddy." I give X a big old hug. "I'm so sorry about your horrible life."
The door opens and the unnamed man says, The boss and I have finished discussing, so if you are ready, we can come in. Perry, put your glasses on." And Perry says, "Sorry, let me put these back on." And puts his glasses back on. And he gestures you back into the throne room with the boss, if you follow.
Before we go in, I look at Mark and I look at X and I say, "Even though we left the military and we're not a part of a cool crime family or something like that, you're still my bros, and we belong to each other." And I hold out my fist for a knuckle bump.
A knuckle bump.
Doc's fist is large enough that the both of you can knuckle bump at the same time.
"I'll take pinky ring for you, tank pointer, pointer middle."
You guys, after your fist bump, walk into the throne room with the Cartesian boss, and he says, "Well, lads, I'm so sorry that we've had a lot of misunderstandings in terms of your history with our family. It is not only a reflection on me that we've had these problems, but on our area of Factory 9 as a whole, that you guys have had such a bad time dealing with shite here. I pride myself on creating a welcoming atmosphere for any new people that wish to join the family and wish to be protected by us Cartesians. So I'm sorry for what's occurred. Now, I'm wondering, because you guys seem to have a decent amount of skills. I mean, X, you were working very high up in the ranks. I mean, you were part of Jesper's strike team, which, by the way, he'll be punished severely and is no longer my heir. He might be murdered. We haven't decided just yet. Because treachery is not tolerated. But I was wondering if you guys would like to do a job for me. I can offer you more after the first one, but I'd love it if you could do a job."
"It depends on the job."
"Well, let me say, for start off, you'll get 200 credits each for participating.
But at the edge of our territory, there's a factory. It's not the ninth one. I know you're expecting sort of a pun.
I was totally about to say that.
It was on the tip of my tongue.
No, but anyways, we've got a factory.
Is it the 10th one?
No, it's the 37th.
Ah.
Damn it.
But
what a boring number.
Look, man, I'm not here to make jokes. I'm here to run the business. But recently, we shut down the factory because a number of workers were getting injured. So we said we need to repair it and get everything up to code and send some inspectors out to make sure people were stopping getting injured. Those workers are currently either on unemployment or we found them other avenues of work or other factories for them to work at. Now, this was a couple of months ago that this happened. And we've been very busy with other things, so we've yet to send inspectors out. Yet, a couple of our informants and ghosts let us know that recently, the factory's been active. Now, it shouldn't be active, because there's no workers, and this is yet to be approved to
open
back up.
Ghost situation.
There are so many ghosts everywhere.
Gosh, what the hell?
We're being haunted.
We already have a ghost friend, so I guess you called the right people.
Yeah, we're good with ghosts.
I did. Have you been meeting
friendship?
Have you been meeting informants on other planets? I was
no, like
they're dead people.
I was. Are you telling me that ghosts are real?
Ghosts are real, dude, yeah. And they invite you to scary planets that are supposed to be your home planet, but I don't think they are, and they tell you bad memories of someone else's brain. It's confusing.
And sometimes they're the sauce man.
Perry, I need you to go to the R&D department. We're researching ghosts. Perry nods and says, I can do this, yes.
But Perry's like, I have always believed in them. I am so excited to get to finally prove it.
He gives a sort of single motion wave. Goodbye, fellows. Thank you for a nice story. And I'm glad I get to take break from work to smoke a Crimson cigar. Anyways, I will go to R&D department. I will be back, but maybe by the time I am back, you'll be gone. So goodbye.
Goodbye.
And Perry leaves.
Bye, Perry.
Perry
he was
needs
nice.
A raise.
I like Perry. He's an affable fellow.
Oh, you know
don't
how he
kill
needs
him
a raise?
Off.
He's one of our best. Not only is he an accomplished fighter, he also has a degree in chemistry.
Oh.
Yeah, he's a very useful employee. That's why he gets paid the big bucks.
By the way, Gregory of the ramen stand?
Ah, he's a bit of an asshole, isn't he?
Once you get to know him, it's a facade. It is entirely a facade. You just got to talk to him a little bit more, and there's such a wonderful man beneath the facade.
Could you, like, help his small business a little bit more and tell him it's from us?
He snaps at the unnamed man. He says, all right, when we're done with this, schedule me a time to go and have ramen at Gregory's stand. Usually I just have you bring it up to me, but I think I'll go down to the stand. Just a theory that he's a nice guy. And the unnamed man sort of nods and writes it down on a little pocketbook schedule.
Is that his name? The unnamed I'm confused. The unnamed man.
So far, nobody has referred to him other than the DM as the unnamed man.
When he was born, they lost the paperwork with like his name on it, so he just doesn't have one.
It's just nobody says his name. I don't know. You'll have to investigate further if you want to find out why.
It's all consonants, and it's just so hard to pronounce it, and everybody's just like, hey, my guy, my dude. No, I can say your
Walken.
Name, but it's awkward to say it at this point in the conversation, wouldn't it be? No, it would be, I swear. No, really.
Anyways, if you are interested, I would love for you to investigate this factory for me. I can get you a copy of the floor plan, so if you want to look around, you can see it. And
what do we do when we're there?
Well, here's the thing. I would like to find out, one, what is currently being manufactured there, because it's a garment factory. Two, who is bringing it back to action? Three, why? And any other information that you can find out for me?
Yeah, I'm down. We get money, yeah. We get to meet more ghosts, and we get to do a super secret factory mission.
All right, sounds good to me.
Sir, would you please mark down on our books that we will owe these lads 600 credits upon the return, 200 each? I thank you for your time. I was actually going to give you some time to think about it, but I guess you don't really
need
it.
Well, I agreed. My friends didn't say nothing yet, I don't think.
Well, I just feel like if one of us agrees, like, I don't know, we just kind of follow the leader, you know, like...
But X is the leader.
Well, X is... Oh, yeah, that's a good point. X, are we doing this?
Well, I would say considering the fact that we kind of spent half of our credits and trying to get this shit repaired, then yes, I would say it's within our best advantage to do so.
I need a Gatling gun.
I have 6 credits left.
Wonderful!
And we each have 25, so we'll take it.
So here,
I may have an off-planet bank account, but I don't know for certain. And I probably can't access it because I don't have the bank card.
Well, I think my assistant here will escort you out of the building. He will give you, of course, each a copy of the floor plan for this factory. And I like you guys. So this is an apology. And he will reach into his drawer and he will pull out a full bottle of a Kermden fire vodka.
Yeah. What is that brown stuff or white stuff? It's a clear stuff.
It's a slightly reddish color.
What's that slightly reddish stuff?
A good night's sleep is what that is.
You drink a lot, Mark.
All right. Thank you, lads. And the unnamed man begins to escort you out of the room and then the tower. And with that, we end today's episode.
Ooh. We're going to another office building.
As newly freed man, I would love for you to follow at DDWAI Podcast on social medias. And do not forget to leave rating and review and subscribe on podcast platform. See you next time!